Your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is the Locked On NHL podcast, your Friday edition. Joe DiBiase from Locked On Sabres and Rachel Donner from Locked On Flyers. I got a lot of hockey stuff open in all my tabs right now, Rachel, but I'm closing out a couple that are non-hockey related, one of which is you can go on a nine-month cruise that
Carnival is offering.
Does that sound appealing? I'm looking, reading through that. I'm like, this sounds horrible. I don't want to be on a cruise ship for 9 months.
No, and let me tell you, I've been on one cruise in my life, and I get motion sick, and so I wore the patch. And unbeknownst to me, one of the side effects of wearing some of those patches is temporary blindness. And guess who got temporarily blind?
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, I wasn't blind. I could see light and dark, but it basically my eyes just wouldn't focus for about 18 hours. It was very scary.
Oh yeah, that's not good. I've been on, I think, three cruises in my life, and I don't get like motion sickness or anything, but I stress so much when you are off the ship and you're in one of your stops. Like if you're
like missing
NASA,
the boat.
Right, missing the boat. And this 6 month cruise has 150 stops. It's like, that sounds appealing. Like, oh, you're traveling the world. You're seeing 150 different places. To me, what that is 150 times where I'm worrying about missing the ship. I don't think I would get into that. Plus $60,000, a lot of money to just drop on a cruise ship. So we got some serious subject matter to get to on today's podcast. Obviously, we are a podcast that covers the league, and there's nothing bigger right now than what is happening in Chicago and the fallout that has also come with the Florida Panthers that was announced last night. We'll also do hot and cold starts to the season. Last week we did teams. This week we're kind of going to go through some individual players. So that's coming your way on the podcast as well. But the big news to start off with is that Joel Quenneville has resigned as head coach of the Panthers after his meeting with Gary Bettman. So Quenneville's not being fined or suspended by the league, but he will, in the league statement, they wrote out that he will have to meet with the league before re-entering the NHL in any capacity at any point. How do you feel like this all went? Him being behind the bench the other night, immediately after Kyle Beach's interview, seemed inappropriate. And now looking back, it feels like it was. But I felt like, given that he was in that meeting in Chicago 11 years ago, that there was no way he could continue as Panthers head coach.
Oh, absolutely not. And he should not have been behind the bench in that game versus the Bruins. It was just such a bad look. And I think, you know, there's a lot of consternation about this in terms of these guys getting fired versus resigning. And I understand they're doing the resigning part of it so that they don't get paid out, which is the right thing to do, because if coaches get fired, they get paid out for the rest of their contract. And so, you know,
right,
logistically, it's the right way to handle this. The problem is there is an open window for them to return to the league, albeit, like you said, with that meeting they have to do. But what is that? What's the format? What are the requirements? What are the conditions? Nobody knows. It's Gary Bettman's decision, which it seems kind of ridiculous given the seriousness and the severity of what they did.
Right. So Andrew Burnett is going to be the interim head coach. Kevin Weeks mentioned John Tortorella as a possible person, someone that he's heard could fill in or replace Quenneville in Florida. Does that feel like something that could happen mid-season, though? Because for him to be throwing that name out there, I guess it could be for like 13 months from now, but or for 12 months from now. But I feel like they would have just hired Tortorella if they were going to do that already.
Maybe. You know, I think the team is just off to such a good start that maybe they didn't want to rock the boat too much and just have a familiar face of somebody who's been there to continue on, at least for now, and kind of see how he does for, you know, the next month or so, and then kind of make some decisions from there.
So last thing on Quenneville, and then there's more fallout for this for Winnipeg that we'll get to in a second here, but can you see him ever working in the league again? Because I feel like he shouldn't. I feel like he let down that player in a big way. He was an important figure in that organization. He was in that meeting, and he is an adult. He's an adult man. He should have had the mental capacity to be able to stand up and do something. And he had the power in the organization to be able to do it as well. And to me, like, it's angering to me that he was still in the league in charge of young men after letting someone down in that way. And I wouldn't want him working in the league again, but I don't know. I don't really give the league that much credit to think he'll just never work in the league again.
I don't either. Although, you know, he is getting up there age-wise. It may not be something he wants to do given everything that happened, but I think for certain that he and John McDonough and Stan Bowman should never work in the league again, 100%.
Right. Stan Bowman, by the way, also stepped down as general manager of USA Hockey and then was immediately replaced by Bill Guerin, who has his own sexual assault cover up, although Safe Sport did come out and say that that he was cleared of that. So
I don't know that that's true.
Is that not true?
Rumored that he was going to get the position, but I didn't see that it was official as far as I knew. And that Safe Sport investigation is not completed yet.
Right. I did see that reported. No, you're right. I'm looking now. Expected to be named GM of USA Hockey. So thank you for that clarification, because that is important. So we'll see on that. And then Kevin Cheveldayoff, Winnipeg Jets general manager, who was the assistant GM in Chicago in the 2009-2010 season, who also, according to the Blackhawks investigation report, was in that meeting. And the meeting that we're referencing, by the way, was kind of informative about the situation between Kyle Beach and Brad Aldrich. And that's really where John McDonough at the end of it, from what I read in the report, what happened at the end was he said, I'll handle it. But then it was clear, and the individual should have realized that handled it meant he was going to do nothing for a few weeks. And Cheveldayoff was also an individual in that meeting. He was supposed to meet with Gary Bettman on Monday. The Jets wanted to move the meeting up, and now he's going to be meeting with Bettman today on Friday. Should there be any difference between Cheveldayoff and Quenneville in terms of the result of the meeting?
I don't think so. I think he needs to resign and step away. You know, depending on how he handles this, again, I want to be just respectful to each of them in terms of, you know, what they do moving forward. You know, maybe the window is slightly wider open for him to return, but this was too serious a situation for not one of those people in that room to stand up and say, mm-hmm. No, we really have to do something about this. It's unforgivable. Mm-hmm. But, you know, given that he was kind of more junior in the organization, you know, whether it's right or not, I don't know, but I think the window is definitely slightly more open for him.
Mm-hmm. And then Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane made some comments over the past couple of days that, man, they were frustrating for me to hear. Just kind of hearing both of them talk about what Stan Bowman did for their careers, and both of them saying that they didn't know about the situation in the locker room at the time, despite the fact that Kyle Beach said that he believed everyone in that locker room knew about the sexual assault, and that. Also, you've got former Blackhawks players. Brent Sopel is one of them. There are others that have come out and said, like, yeah, everybody knew in the locker room. And now I look at Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane, and just to me, I'm thinking, you're lying to cover your butts. And you can't know that for sure, but that's sure how it feels to me. And as someone that grew up in hockey locker rooms, like I got emotional watching the Kyle Beach interview, and I got angry watching Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane, because I can, as someone, again, that grew up in hockey locker rooms, that there, it is a sewage pit for homophobic behavior like that. And I can just kind of imagine in my head what it was like in that locker room if everybody knew it. And to me, it makes me sick that Toews and Kane kind of came out the way that they did. But at the same time, I guess I don't have to feel too all the way dark about hockey culture and, you know, players in the league, because you have had some individuals that have come out and have said the things that needed to be said. Alex DeBrincat has come out and been very vocal. Taylor Hall, kind of referring to the situation, like hockey being an old boys club. So it's not all bad across the sport right now, but man, those two really rubbed me the wrong way the other day.
Yeah, I want to add Duncan Keith to that list as well, because he definitely seems like is talking in circles about it. And I think you're right that even if you go on the assumption, and again, like you said, we don't know because we weren't there and can't say for sure, but based on the evidence in the report and what Kyle said, and like you said, what Brent Sopel said, it seems pretty clear that more people knew about it than are admitting to it. And even if you go on the assumption that some of them didn't know until training camp the following season, that's when some of that abuse was happening in terms of the homophobic slurs being said at practice. And I don't care if you're just finding out about this at this time, Jonathan Toews, like you're the captain of this team. And if you don't quash that behavior, that is a failure on your part. And what he did not do in any of his statements thus far is accept his own personal responsibility in any of this. And then to also, you know, heap praise on Stan Bowman for what he did for him individually in his career was just the tone deafness and the blindness to what's going on here in the name of loyalty and such. Just, it was really upsetting. But I do appreciate, again, like you said, what Taylor Hall said and Alex DeBrincat. I think, you know, there is hope in the younger kids.
Yeah. And then you pointed out to me before we got going here, comments that Jackie Redman at NHL Network made. I have not watched the whole video yet. It's like a 5-minute video on Twitter of Jackie Redman kind of calling out Jonathan Toews on NHL Network. And that is a network that, like, they are never critical. Like, they are never critical. They are like almost like a separate arm of public relations for the league. And I didn't watch it, but if she was kind of calling out Toews there, I want to commend her for doing that, especially on that network.
Yeah, and she mentioned, you know, how difficult a position she was in to talk about it like that, but she felt like she had no choice given the severity and, again, just how insensitive what he said was. And, you know, EJ echoed what she said and especially emphasized, you know, the follow-up that, you know, additional people were hurt and were assaulted by Aldridge because of the lack of action by the Blackhawks. And for Jonathan Toews to, you know, smooth that over in any way is just uncalled for.
Yep. I am 37 pages through the report. That is 109 pages. It is heavy. If you haven't watched the Kyle Beach interview yet, I would definitely, I feel like every hockey fan should just like, I felt like almost obligated that, like, you got to watch it because you need to know what was going on. And it's important, I thought. And I'm reading through the report right now. It is heavy. It is graphic. And it really makes me angry. I'm sure other people feel other emotions. I mean, you just feel broken watching that Kyle Beach interview. I don't know. Is there anything else you want to say on this before we move on? I know they covered it a lot yesterday, but.
I just, you know, hope that we get more encouraging statements from players. I hope we get an apology from Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane. And, you know, moving forward, that there is some more accountability. I feel like there's just an overall lack of accountability here. And I hope the league understands that they're falling short here.
Yeah. I hope that. That's a good way to wrap it. Does the league legitimately understand where they fell short? The NHL Players Association too, Donald Fehr, they put out a statement coincidentally at, like, what was it? Like, it wasn't 1 a.m., but it was like 11:30 at night on Wednesday night, kind of saying that they let Kyle Beach down and that they need to be better. So I would put the Players Association in that boat too, because if Donald Fehr was made aware of this 11 years ago and they didn't do anything. All right. So they covered this situation a lot more on the podcast yesterday here on Locked On NHL. So if you're looking for more expanded thoughts, be sure to check out yesterday's episode. When we come back, a little look at some hot and cold starts to the season, but for individual players. Last week, we looked at teams. This week, we're going to look at a couple of players that have started hot or started cold. Before we do that, though, I want to remind you this podcast is brought to you by Built Bar. They got a bunch of amazing flavors, double chocolate, mint brownie, cherry barcia, cookies and cream, German chocolate. My favorite's the cookie dough bar because they got the little pieces of cookie dough right inside there. And not only are Built Bars the best tasting protein bar on the market, they're also healthy too. Check out the macro, 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar and only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. All amazing flavors, all tasty and all healthy. Go to built.com now and use the promo code locked on and you'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code locked on for 15% off at built.com. Joe DiBiase and Rachel Donner here on the Locked On NHL podcast. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Sneaky Joe Sports. Rachel is at R Miriam. All right, let's go through some players that have started off hot to the regular season. I'll let you go first. Who's the first player you kind of want to point to as like this guy's off to a great start?
I think I want to go to Winnipeg with Kyle Connor. And that is a name that I certainly would not have expected to be at the top of the scoring charts to start the season. Right now, he's like just below Connor McDavid and tied with Alex Ovechkin in points with 13 so far. And he's leading the league in individual expected goals. Mm-hmm. Right now. And yeah, that's totally shocking to me. I mean, I know he's good, but
right,
you know, to be a league leader even early on, I think is a little unexpected, but really cool for him and for Winnipeg.
Yeah. Year six for him. You don't often see these huge jumps for a guy once they turn like 25 years old, but I mean, so far, and again, like he's been a good player. Like he's just under a point a game player for his career. He scored in the 30-goal territory 3 times, but he's had almost 2 points a game right now. He's playing incredible. My first guy is Alex Ovechkin. Now, this is not a surprise, and Ovechkin is obviously great. I think he's the best goal scorer of all time, but I just wanted to point it out because 8 goals in 7 games is number one in the league right now at 36 years old. So add that to the list of impressive things that Ovechkin's done. I know it's only 7 games so far, but this I'm thinking about the goal record. I am constantly thinking about the goal record for Wayne Gretzky, and every goal helps. And so far this year, I mean, obviously he's not going to score 82 goals like he's on pace for. But wouldn't you be surprised if he didn't come close to 50 again? Like, he's going to at least get near 50, I think, on this, even with this start.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that he's trying to make up for lost time here and yes, get as many points as possible. And he's yeah, almost at Hull's number right now.
I think that's right. While I look that up, like, no, you're right, though. Like, people don't talk about that when they mention the record. Is that, like, the NHL stole how many games from Alex Ovechkin? Because he would have been in the league in 2005, 2006, if not for the lockout. That would have been his rookie season. So that might have been 35 goals as an 18-year-old. You had the half lockout in 2012. You've had, obviously, the COVID-shortened years the past 2 seasons. So he's right, had a lot of games taken from him. Yeah, he is 4 goals behind Brett Hull. No, 3 goals behind Brett Hull after scoring last night for fourth all-time. So he'll catch Hull maybe before the week is over. Who is second for you in hot starts of the season?
So I'm going to be super selfish and mention Cam Atkinson from my Flyers. Mm-hmm. Before last night's game versus Vancouver, he was at a goal per game. He was leading the league in on 5-on-5 goals per 60. And he's just off to an amazing start and providing that shoot first mentality that the Flyers were lacking. And this is a situation, again, where this whole Voracek for Atkinson trade is working out for both teams really wonderfully. Mm-hmm. But Cam, I think in particular, is just igniting offense for the Flyers in a way that was sorely needed.
Mm-hmm. I'll go to Calgary here for my next one. Elias Lindholm has 7 goals in 7 games. and he's been asked to kind of fill in to a bigger role. I think he's been playing up on the top line with Johnny Gaudreau, and he's played great doing it. Gaudreau's been setting him up. Gaudreau's they're kind of like the complete opposites, where Lindholm's at 7 goals, 1 assist, and Gaudreau's at 1 goal, 9 assists. So Lindholm's kind of taking on that role as the goal scorer, and he's at a 36% shooting percentage. It's obviously not going to hold up. He's more of a, what is his career, 12%. So he's going to see regression, but a great start to the year for him, and he's helping Calgary kind of get off the mat here at the beginning of the season, in a year where, I mean, you keep thinking they're going to blow things up if it goes wrong. They never do, so maybe they just never will. But Lindholm's playing great, and I thought playing 20 minutes a night for, I guess he did a couple years ago, but 20 minutes a night, he's doing a really good job.
Yeah, and I should add, you know, along with Lindholm, the great streak that the Flames are on right now, you have to talk about Andrew Mangiapane, who is up there with 7 goals so far this season. And his other teammate, Jacob Markstrom, in net is unbelievable right now. He's got 2 shutouts in his last 3 games. He's 3-1-1, but a .952 save percentage so far. You know, he absolutely blanked Pittsburgh last night with, I think it was like 45 saves. Absolutely ridiculous. So I'm not looking forward to the Flyers playing him on Saturday night.
Yeah, Mangiapane and Lindholm have 14 of the Flames' 25 goals so far this season. More than half. Yeah. That's pretty crazy. All right, now let's switch over to some players that are cold. Who's a guy that is starting off cold of the season?
I want to start off with Alex Pietrangelo. I think he's been playing well, but he was brought in to Vegas for his offensive firepower and has 0 points and a total of 22 shots on goal so far this season in 7 games played. And I think that's a little concerning because Vegas needs that offense, because that's their whole point, is that they score a lot of goals.
Right. They, by the way, have been in this Jack Eichel. I think that might happen in the next couple of days. We'll mention that when we come back. And then I've got my my two players that are off to cold starts this season. But Rachel's got a word for Bet Online before we do that.
Yeah, Bet Online is back and better than ever. If you want to make a bet on whether Markstrom will have another shutout in his next game, betonline.ag is the perfect place to do that. They have a new web interface for the start of basketball season. They've got more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online is your number one spot for all the hockey, basketball, and football action this season. They have a new updated desktop and mobile websites. If you sign up today, you receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive that bonus. From basketball, football, baseball, postseason, NHL, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait and take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Bet Online, where the game starts.
Joe DiBiase, Rachel Donner, and the Locked On NHL podcast. We're going through hot and cold players to the start of the NHL season. Rachel just mentioned Alex Pietrangelo, who is pointless to start the season. And there's also some surrounding reports around Vegas right now that I want to just mention real quick before I get to my cold players, about Jack Eichel, and that trade talks are ramping up. It could happen in the next couple of days. They're kind of working more towards like salary stuff now, as opposed to like the surgery they're past. Like, it sounds like Vegas will just let Jack Eichel get the surgery that he wants. What I thought was interesting was that Jesse Granger, who covers the Golden Knights for The Athletic, last night, he was tweeting about the possibility of the Golden Knights trading Shea Theodore to Buffalo for Eichel. And that is a name I have not even thought about in this. Like, and we were talking about the Golden Knights 6 months ago here in Buffalo as a potential trade partner, but it's always been what picks and prospects do they have that are attractive. But Granger is saying basically it would make more sense to lock Zach Whitecloud up long term and before making that move and send Theodore to Buffalo. Now, Theodore is 26 years old and he's awesome. that's the thing. If Buffalo is getting Shea Theodore, you're not getting much else. Like, that's the piece you're getting. So I don't know if they'd want to flip him or not. And even from the Vegas side of it, I mean, you'd think you're buying Eichel to go take a run at a Stanley Cup, and to take a guy that, especially with Pietrangelo struggling, you might be taking your best defenseman off your roster for that. Like, to me, that doesn't make sense for them.
I don't think so either. I think that, especially with what little plan structure, I'm sorry, that the Sabres seem to have right now, you know, they are in rebuild mode, and picks and prospects are really what helps bolster that sort of situation. Shea Theodore, that does not make any sense to me.
No, he's 26, so he's not old, but again, you should be looking for guys that are 20, 21, 22.
Mm-hmm.
And he's under contract for 4 more years. So it's not, it doesn't make no sense, but it doesn't make a ton of sense for me for either side. So just thought it was interesting that Granger, who's very plugged in, obviously, to Vegas, was even throwing his name out there. Anyways, back to hot and cold players. Cole Caulfield, Nick Suzuki. I'm going to pair them together here in Montreal. They have 0 goals through the beginning of the season. And those are two guys that were to be relied upon to put the puck in the back of the net. I know they added some smaller pieces, like they brought Mike Hoffman in, and they've still got some other players in there. Obviously, they rely on Jonathan Drouin is back, Brendan Gallagher. But Caulfield, I mean, he's still second in Rookie of the Year odds. He was expected to be in that type of territory, given how well he played at the end of last season. And Suzuki's really been ascending since he entered the league. But they've let the Canadians down in a big way through the start of the season. And that's really, I think, part of what has driven them being so bad this year, is you can't score 0 goals if you're two of the better young offense players.
No, and, you know, the Habs have struggled mightily so far this season. I think, you know, they won against Detroit recently, but that's been it. And it's not even that they're losing close games all the time. You know, they're getting severely outplayed across the board. And when those two guys are not contributing, it makes a big difference.
Right. All right. Did you have any other cold players, or were pretty much tapped out at those two?
Yeah, I mean, you know, just personally, I'm kind of disappointed that Phil Myers isn't getting a good, you know, restart in Nashville after getting traded there this offseason. He's been healthy scratched a couple of times, which is very disappointing. But again, not a super high impact player, but a guy that should have taken a step forward that maybe isn't. And I'm kind of bummed about that.
All right. Well, that's going to do it, I think, for today's podcast. Be sure to check out Locked On Flyers if you are looking for more on Philadelphia. And you can check out Locked On Sabres if you want more on the 5-1-1 Buffalo Sabres. Who saw that coming? Fit, can
not
we just
I.
mention, we, real quick, I know you're not big on power rankings, but we do the power rankings here at Locked On NHL. And the Sabres were 15th above the Maple Leafs. Like, come on, guys. Like, even I know they're not. Maybe they shouldn't be that high. I mean, because that is, what is that? That's a playoff team. And they're not, they're a great start to the season, but come on. I'm not thinking about the playoffs at all for the Sabres yet. So,
no. Well, and the Flyers have been like stuck at 16 or 17 for all the weeks so far. And yet they've continued to win and not move up in the rankings. So
they just kind of stayed there. It's like, we don't even see
we don't
them.
Believe it.
Yeah. We just like, yeah, you're 16th or 17th. I don't even care what the games look like. Like, you're just 16th or 17th. Yeah. Basically that's how that's going, I think. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us on the podcast. Thanks everybody for listening. I'll be back on Tuesday's episode with Mike DiStefano, and me and Rachel will talk to you again on Friday here on the Locked On NHL podcast. Thanks for making us your first listen every day. Now go make your second listen. Locked On Fantasy Hockey host Scott Cullen leans on his decades of fantasy hockey insight and experience every day to help you be the expert of your fantasy league. It's free and available on all platforms.